Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, Stevie, we...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Money Mark Part 2 interview. My favorite part about his interview is when we talked about going to Big Bear and recording the first Mongchi album. And that's what I enjoyed talking about, as well as him talking about his work with the Beastie Boys, working on Check Your Head, and all of that good stuff. So he's a very important person in my life. I've learned a lot from him, and I hope you learn a lot too by listening to him. Thanks.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. This episode is brought to you by Scentbird. Welcome back, the OG, the one and only, our very first guest on the Stevie Weeby Show. Welcome back, musician, composer, overall genius, Money Mark. Bring it on over here, buddy. Give me a pound first. Oh, my God.
I'm so glad to be here.
I just want to let you know, I want to thank you, first of all.
I'm so glad.
I have to thank you because I want to let the viewers know how this podcast even started. Oh, our last Mongchi show. We were on the plane back from New York because we thought that was our last show. And you were saying, hey, Steve, you should plan on something now. Like, what are you planning on doing after this? And then I thought on the plane, and I go, oh, I should start a podcast.
There you go.
And then I turned around, and I go, would you be my first guest if I start a podcast? And, dude, you're at the beginning, and now we're over 100 episodes on this. Just to give you reference, Money Mark was a part of the Beastie Boys, and along with all these other great groups. What's the one with David Byrne?
David Byrne, the Atomic Bomb Band, and the Karen O group with the psycho opera thing.
Yeah,
Stop the Virgins. Yeah, and then
many others. Money, basically, this is the first Mongchi album. He produced.
No, we produced it.
Most of the music on it in Big Bear.
We did it together, man.
And Big Bear. So I got to give you props for that. That was a very good memory.
That was fun.
Did you? Do you want to? Let's talk about that. I mean, I'm comfortable with you now, but back then I just was getting to know you, and explain where we're at in Big Bear and how
we were in Big Bear, California, up in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And there was a house that we took over, like we rented this house and just brought a bunch of gear up there, and
it was a
huge lodge.
We
had zero recordings, and then we ended up with a whole album, right?
We went bowling too.
We went bowling, and we shopped at Vons.
Yeah, we went to Vons.
Oh, bowling. No, there were some llamas.
Oh, yeah, there's a llama. Yeah, those are animals back there. Yeah,
in the back.
And I'd feed them. We'd feed them like vegetables,
carrots, and apples and shit.
But he's like, the place where we're staying at, it was basically, you could have held a whole summer camp for kids. It was one huge lodge, but then outside there's other like cabins and stuff with shower, everything. It like you could have, there's families that could have stayed there.
Yeah, there's like probably some towns in this world that are smaller than that.
Yeah. And then remember, and then the Hundreds came and did that documentary.
Oh, that's right.
So shout out to Bobby Hundreds. He's supposed to get on here soon. So man, where do I start with you? Your history is so vast, and I just want, you know, because you've done so much just in the music, like
history. Yeah, I'm old.
But you don't look old, and your music is keeping you youthful. Are you working on your solo? How's the solo album?
Yeah, I have
three
solo albums in the works. So one is like fast and hard, and the other one is kind of mellow, like songs. And the other one is like very weird, like weird.
And then what label is going to put out?
I actually don't know. I'll probably just do it myself. Yes. I'll do it myself. And then all of my old songs, I own all those copyrights. See, I was smart, and I never gave anything away. So I own it now. I own it all. So I'm putting that out in one label, Light in the Attic. You know,
Light in the Attic. That's Shel Silverstein, too, right? Light in the Attic? Children's book.
The book.
Yeah, it's an old children's book, but...
No, Light in the Attic was like this cat, the Rodriguez cat.
Oh.
Like, you know that, you guys know. He had a song on that record that was like an anthem in South Africa, and he didn't even know. And then these kids,
there's a documentary
on it.
Yeah, these kids made a documentary.
And then they rediscovered him, and then so Light in the Attic put out that record. But they did some other stuff.
Searching for Sugar Man.
Sugar Man. In Search for Sugar Man. They got Sly Stone on that label, and they got like a bunch of people. Man, it's pretty incredible.
Man, it's just.
So I'm happy about that.
I'm happy too. You remember we were in Hawaii for the Deltron thing, and we were on the beach, and you were playing me. You were 5-7 songs in, and you're letting me listen on the phone.
Oh, some of the songs I was working on.
Yeah, some of the stuff You had like a surf jam on it.
You know what happens is like I make songs and then all of a sudden some new songs come along and those other ones get put in the back burner. So I don't know, you know.
So those are gone? Are you going to add those? Because those are awesome songs you played for me.
Oh, thanks.
I don't even
remember which ones they were, but you know. I guess just get what you get. That's all.
Let's bring it back to... how did you, I don't know if I covered this, but how did you like get into music? Like how did you meet the Beasties and how'd you meet Robert and Mario C and all them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a long time ago, man.
Yeah.
That's a long time
ago. There's, cause we still keep the Beastie Boys legacy alive here, you know, like,
there you go. See, there's Mike D right there. Yeah, Ad Rock. Adam.
Yeah.
Yow right there.
So, just for the viewers, because a lot of them are Beasties fans and fans of yours, they just to clarify some history, I think is fun for them to listen to.
I started hanging out with them during Paul's Boutique.
Yeah,
and then officially we made a record together, Check Your Head, and so out of that record came So What You Want. So what you want?
And they had a line about you. I'm the illest from here to Gardena.
Oh yeah, I'm the illest motherfucker
from here to Gardena. That's then, referring to you.
And then in that song, Professor Booty, keep with money, Mark. You know he ain't having it. Just give him some wood, and he'll build you a cabinet.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the Beastie Boy experience. I mean, working with those guys was like. Tremendous. I have so much gratitude right there. I probably said that last time because it's everlasting. So
I mean, they're probably one of the most iconic groups.
Oh, but since we talked, there's a Beastie Boy book that came out.
That's right.
I'm in there, some stories. Some of the stories.
What was it like when you first met those cats? Were they recording? Were they like finishing Paul's Boutique or did they have the extra?
That was right in the middle of Paul's Boutique.
And then you were doing cabinet work, right? Like at the house
or
something?
Yeah, I was making cabinets. I had like a little cabinet business. Mm-hmm. But I was also a set carpenter. And I was on this the Hollywood Center studios lot. And Pee Wee Herman was there mm-hmm. with the Playhouse. And occasionally I'd build stuff for that show. And other shows that were going on there.
And so when you first met them, they didn't know you had this musical talent, right? Like you kind of kept that on the...
Well, that's kind of half the story. But yeah. You know, basically, I wasn't hired as a musician. I was hired as a carpenter to help build the studio and like record shelves and like whatever, you know.
So when did they find out like your musical abilities, like just the more you hung out with these guys?
Yeah, just like hanging out and like let's jam out. Well, I have some gear and I brought some gear over. Like
From Gardena to there.
Yeah, that's right.
Were they living in the Hollywood Hills at the time?
A lot of times we would jam out at Horvitz's pad and he was on Stanley. Off of Sunset.
Oh, wow.
Sunset, yeah. Right over there. Yeah. Right now is, it used to be, I guess Samuel French used to be there, and the old SAG office used to be there.
Yeah.
That's where we would hang out.
Because Check Your Head, I mean, just all their albums are so historic and so iconic. Like, what was that process like recording that specific album, Check Your Head?
Yeah, that was a...
Because that album is...
You like that record?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, you know...
You signed Craig's copy. Remember, Craig? Signed the copy.
The thing about that is, like, it took a long time to make that record because... Not just because we're getting to know each other, but also because... Mostly because we're trying to create a syntax for how to make the record. Like, what kind of record is this going to be? You know? All of us had so much varied influences. We listened to all kinds of music.
Right.
Country and rock and funk and classical
punk.
And punk. Yeah, everything.
Everything,
like,
yeah.
So it was, I mean, that record could have been a quadruple record or something. And there is actually tapes that are still there from sessions from that record.
That never made the cut? Like,
yeah, like lots of, there's lots of music.
For
all the records, there's like lots of music that's just there.
Just there,
yeah.
How long did it take you guys to finish that album?
It took a minute because, like I said, we were trying to figure out a lot of things about it. And then when we started assembling it, you know, that's like, it was a little unheard of at the time, like to put a hardcore piece of music next to like an organ instrumental, and you know, and then some of them have vocals and some don't, and so it was a little wild to hear it.
Yeah.
But now it kind of holds up. Like when I hear it, it sounds very modern, like that kind of like mixtapey kind of idea.
Right. And then who was Mario? When did Mario C and get involved with the project?
Yeah, that's he. Him and I were from day one on Check Your Head.
Day one. So it was you, Mario, and the Beasties.
That's right.
Five of us. Five.
That's it.
Mix Master came after the fact.
He was in live shows. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So do you?
Hurricane was.
Yeah, Hurricane. Sorry, Hurricane was there. Then it was Mix Master.
And I think mostly on Check Your Head, the turntable work is mostly at Horvitz.
Really?
Yeah, Hurricane wasn't around for those sessions, but he came on when the live shows started. Then he got called in for that.
So Ad Rock did... Okay, hold up. Now it's a time for our sponsor, Scentbird. Scentbird is a luxury fragrance subscription service for perfumes and colognes. Scentbird has more than 600 designer brands for you to choose from each month. Not sure what type of scent you're looking for? Sort and find your new fragrance by brand, style, occasion, season, and more. With Scentbird, you can have a great taste and mix up your fragrance routine without breaking the bank. Whether it's Versace, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, Scentbird.com keeps you smelling good month after month after month. My personal favorites, I like, in no particular order, I like the Burberry. The Brit Rhythm smells fantastic. I like Clinique. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but Clinique Happy, I love. Dolce & Gabbana, Intenso. Check that one out. You won't be disappointed. And Hugo Boss, Just Different. So check those out. Those are my favorite, but there are many, 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 many more. Go to scentbird.com/Stebe. Use my code Stebe, STEEBEE, for 30% off your first month. Again, go to scentbird.com/Stebe. Use my code STEEBEE for 30% off your first month. And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 30% off your first month today. That's only $10 for your first fragrance. Again, and with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, that's you, hopefully, you could get 30% off your first month today. That's only $10 off your first fragrance. Again, I'm going to spell it out for you. That's scentbird.com/STEEBEE for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $10. Let me just do that one last time and I'll let y'all go. Again, that's scentbird.com/STEEBEE for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $10. Sign up today. You won't be disappointed. Smell fresh like me. And we're back. So AdRock did the DJing and the mixing, like, that's,
yeah, I did a lot of that. Everybody did a lot of jobs.
Oh my god!
Yeah, we all pitched in.
Yeah, and then like, did you guys work during the like crazy hours? Like, how did, like, when did all the creativity come out?
Well, there was the studio was actually this old ballroom on the second floor of this building in Atwater Village. That's Glendale Boulevard.
Yes,
3218 and a half Glendale Boulevard. There was a gift shop below us.
Yeah.
And I, you know, literally there was like glass menagerie little figures in the window and on these glass shelves. So we could not make any sounds or else it would.
Where you recorded your stuff, you couldn't make.
Well, the owners of the shop were like, you guys can't make sound until we close. So
you had to wait till like
we
midnight.
Had to wait till 6 p.m.
Oh, 6 p.m.
So that was our hours. It was like 6.
6
to
on,
like, yeah,
4 in the morning.
Till whenever, yeah.
Damn. Well,
whenever,
you know,
the shop opened again.
Man, well, I just want to let the viewers and listeners know that Beastie Boys, Check Your Head, all of the Beastie's albums are historic, iconic, and they stand the test of time. They'll never bore anyone. I mean, that's when you know
think
music.
So?
Come on, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, I mean,
what do you think? You like those records, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Craig, you signed, I don't know if you remember, you signed his copy. He
yeah.
had Check Your Head in the rap.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you're here, you're our first
watching
guest.
TV.
Yeah. Man, yeah, I'm just I'm still like, I know I've known you for a while now, but like the respect that I have for you is just
cool,
always,
man.
it's always there.
Look, I got this watch that says now.
Okay,
if someone asked me what time it is?
Now.
I'd say it's now.
Yeah. So do you remember, the first show you did with them, and then we're going to go on to some of the other projects you've done with, the other
first show I did
endeavors.
With them. I remember there was a show in San Francisco in mm-hmm. the Hate, February of
92,
I believe, yes.
Okay, do you remember what was the vibe like and the
turnout? I didn't play that show. I was just hanging out, but we all drove up, and believe it or not, So What You Want wasn't on the set list.
What?
Until a couple of the shows later that I actually joined in on. Like, those were only just rap shows, but then when the band started playing, then, that was the real show.
Yeah.
But they didn't add that song until, like, I think the manager called them and, like, said, hey, K-Rock's playing that song, like, all the time. It's on heavy rotation.
Yeah, heavy, heavy. Guys, not only that, MTV, the video, dude.
You got to put it in your set list.
Yeah.
Like that. That's how it happened.
Yeah, it's like that it's such an important album because not only musically it shaped the culture like of just fashion. Like yeah, the beanie like... you're wearing and the flannels and the crazy shoes, it's like that was all Beastie Boys, right? Like
you know, I was in the middle of it, so I didn't really get a like a peripheral
view of what was actually going on around.
I didn't really know what other bands were doing, and
yeah.
So yeah, it's like I was just right in the middle of it.
That's so crazy. It's because like people don't really like you're there the like throughout the whole time. So let's go that to like the end of like because they had a long ass run, right? I mean,
well,
how long was the run for the Beastie Boys?
Yes, Adam Yalcutt discovered
cancer
in 2009 in the late summer, and then we lost Adam.
Yeah, rest in peace, Adam Yalcutt.
May 2012, I believe.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember, but we're in Big Bear, and you said that you were, the way you talked about it, you said you were planning to go on tour with those guys. You're like, yeah, I was ready to go.
Well, there was a big tour plan.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then we had to hold off on that until, you know, until we had to figure shit out. So, and then it was May 4th. So it was like, I totally remember, it was like Star Wars Day, right? They call it May 4th.
Yeah.
May the 4th. And then, yeah, from that moment on, you know, like I had to switch gears. It took a while to like process all that. Even now today, it's like,
yeah,
strange.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's difficult even today to,
but so I just kind of had to like start doing stuff.
I started over. Yeah.
Which was good for me, really.
Yeah, I mean,
part of like
just for your sanity and just
part of like yeah
to keep
therapy
things,
and just keep moving.
I don't know if you remember the night, but there was one particular night. It was you, me, and Dave in the kitchen in Big Bear, and you're drinking a glass of wine, and you drank one sip. It was late. Everyone else went to bed, and you said, and you were talking about this. You mentioned it, and you go, yeah, if Adam was still here, I wouldn't be here with you guys.
Oh, God.
And me and Dave looked at each other, and we were just like, but you don't remember, huh? But you were dead ass serious, and we like it was full on like just like we just silenced the room. You're like, I wouldn't even be here with you guys right now. And then you put your wine glass down. Oh, do you remember the mice in the kitchen?
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's I think that was the night that I felt comfortable with you because we were like out to catch. There's Big Bear lodge. There's mice running around, and we were trying to set traps and stuff.
Yeah. Dave, I think, caught a mouse.
Yeah. Oh, he did. He did.
Yeah, he caught a mouse.
You know, let's talk about that. Let's go on to the trajectory because your trajectory is so vast. I met you at DVD ASA.
That's right.
So how did you let's go to that now? How did you end? How did you meet Dave Cho, the Choaster?
Yeah.
And then I want to get to the point where I like met you when we met.
Yeah. Well, how long is this show? Like right now.
Oh, we're rolling. As long as it takes.
You know.
Yeah, right.
Well,
now.
There's a quick story, and basically.
Do the medium story.
The medium story is Giant Robot, Eric Nakamura
Shout out to Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
You want to say what Giant Robot is?
Giant Robot is.
It's a culture magazine.
Yeah, culture. Like Asian culture.
Asian centric.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about Asian culture, but it was Asian centric.
Pop.
And
culture,
yes,
well, art. Yeah,
that's right.
They have a store too, and on Sawtelle.
Yeah, they sold
I think,
some. Yeah. You know, there's a the store is great.
Yeah,
there's a lot of art and pop art, and mm-hmm. there's some high end stuff there too. But there's cool stuff there. Anyway, and the magazine was I don't know, it was quarterly or something. And I was on the cover of one of the issues. And was Cho on the cover of one of the issues?
Well, I don't know. Well, I know that Cho got a part of his artistic start through Giant Robot. I don't know the details.
Well, though. Yeah, Eric found his art.
Propped
him up in the magazine. And then Eric and I eventually, Eric introduced us.
You and Dave.
That's right.
And then what was that for? I'm curious. What was that like?
I didn't know who he was. He knew who I was, I think, but I didn't really know who he was. And I got that little fanzine thing. And I was like, well, this is kind of dope. But then the second time we met again, well, we met several times.
What year was this?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Maybe early 2000s.
In between this whole time, there was another. Okay, there you go.
Oh, that's cool.
His art was on the cover, not him. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you want to show that to the camera, real quick?
Well, we can put it in.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's good thinking. There you go, Rand. Okay, you keep going.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got a professional. He's doing
Jamie Rogan stuff.
So then, the second there was one time that Giant Robot had a museum show at the Japanese National Museum in Little Tokyo, and he asked me to perform. Eric asked me to perform for the Giant Robot event.
Uh-huh.
And I performed and Ashley was my bass player.
Yeah, they're all up there. Yeah. You're there, Ashley's there. Yeah.
And then but she didn't meet Dave that night.
Oh, she
did. But Dave was there. And then we reconnected. That's when we reconnected that night.
Whoa.
So whenever that date was, and then he said, "Yeah, I got this warehouse, and you know, I'm doing art there."
Yeah.
And then Koala came to town.
Yeah. Shout out to Kid Koala.
Kid Koala.
Eric
San.
Yeah.
And he called me. He goes, "Hey man, I'm gonna go to Cho's warehouse. So let's go over there." So I went over there, and that's the first time I saw the warehouse.
Yeah, yeah. What did it look like back then? Was it just art, mostly art pieces? And
the warehouse is gigantic.
Yeah.
And
I miss that thing.
There was a lot of, you know, it was a kind of giant indoor playground.
It was just open.
It was just a place to cultivate all of your artistic ideas.
You could do anything there, yeah.
Yeah. And eventually we started jamming out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, just you and Dave, or you and Ashley?
We jammed out that night, actually.
The first night
that Dave played drums and I played keyboards and guitar or something. He had a bunch of instruments laying around there. Then the podcast came later. When did the podcast start?
I came late.
I know, but
I was late.
Were you there before Ashley or after? She was already.
She was there like a month or two or three before me.
Just like right almost at the
same
time.
Yeah, it was on the cusp. Because I remember when I first saw her, she'd bring in her bass guitar.
Okay.
And that was when it was in the OG room.
Right.
And then
little room.
That's crazy because I was there like maybe 3 months later.
Okay.
Yeah.
We all kind of met at the same time. So I brought in Ashley.
So you brought in.
And then Dave brought you in. So.
Or no, Bob brought me there. And I sat on the side of the podcast.
Yeah, but how did Bob get there? Through Dave, yeah.
Yeah, and then, but I just went to meet Dave.
That's right.
I went to just meet and show him respect and be like, hey, it's nice meeting you. And then Dave, you know how Dave is. He's like, hey, bring your chair over here to the mic. And then that's how I met
you. So basically, I think I had been thinking about this, you know, a long time ago, but I didn't think of even recently. Like, this is a band that was like, kind of formed on a podcast. Like,
yeah, you
the audience
that, yeah.
got to, if you followed it, you got to hear and experience how this thing started, and then it turned into this thing.
Yeah,
and
it turned
then a
into
tour
this,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we did all these different shows.
Yeah, James Jean. James Jean's art here. That's what was so cool. That's why I'm like proud to be a part of it. I was always proud because of the art involved, because it wasn't just with you guys. It was so many cool artists. Like, remember the tour, like each tour we went on had a different artist do.
Right.
You know, do you remember that?
Poster.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And then, and then the videos.
It was cool. Yeah. Really cool stuff. I'm just so lucky to be a part of this. Look, Money Mark.
We're all
over
man.
There.
It's like,
so how did,
cool.
like, do you remember, I mean, try to refresh my memory. Do you remember who came up with the idea, hey, let's record something or let's go somewhere and try to record
that
something?
That was definitely Dave.
So it was during a podcast, right?
Yeah, actually, I was off when he asked me, I was like, well, I'm going to New York City to produce this band.
What project was that? I forgot.
I don't even remember now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because you've worked with so many musicians. Yeah.
They were like an unknown band, but they wanted me to do it. And
yeah.
Then, I didn't actually fully agree to it, but and Dave was like, well, this is going to be fun. We're going
to just go to Big Bear.
I was like, okay, I just changed gears.
Yeah.
And we did that.
I just remember.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Like what you brought on one of the trips, you had this crazy get to that keyboard, but the keyboard you brought to Big Bear was this
giant,
it was a big black keyboard, but it had all the sound.
It's a Korg company made the Korg used to give
yeah,
me
Korg,
a keyboard,
yeah.
yeah
so you had a
and
Korg.
I had a Korg and it had a bunch of sounds in it.
It was,
but I mean, it's like it's not any different than other kind of those workstation keyboards.
Yeah.
But it had a bunch of sounds in it and a computer in it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we used it, so fine.
Dude,
but I had a guitar and an amp. And
you bought your SP-1200.
Yeah, I brought my sampler. And then
you brought in a laptop to record, I remember.
And a laptop. We did it all.
And you had like a older version of Pro Tools on
it.
And you're like, hey, this is all we need.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you remember how did we begin even recording song? I don't really remember. It was a while ago. Did we?
I don't think anybody really knew how. I mean, I was the only one who knew how to technically do it.
Obviously, yeah.
But then, you know, I was just waiting, picking up ideas from everybody, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to put it into a little form.
I know that These Are My People, you talk to me. I was washing dishes.
Oh, cool.
And then I remember this night, and you go, oh, you should do a thing where you get abducted by aliens.
Oh, okay.
And then I go, oh, that's a cool idea. And then you're like, hey, look, I'll make, and I remember you did, I remember exactly, you had your SP-12,
right.
And you had a certain trick where you put a speaker a certain way, so it like had the 808, like,
oh yeah,
kick sound.
Right, yeah.
It was like boom, boom, boom,
right,
boom,
yeah.
boom, and I'm like, and that, I remember that was inspired by your like just kind of
right,
just.
But I mean, to your credit, like you were just willing to go and like
try something.
So that's great.
Well, I remember
that's your style. Like,
yeah,
you just try it.
Well, I remember it. You and Dave did a pep talk with me one night, and it was just us three again. And you go, Steve, you have to, because I just like was in underground hip hop, and you're like, you have to be open to other styles of music, Steve. We want to experiment. And then after that, that's when we did all the punk songs. And
I don't know if I said that exactly, but I did say that, you know, I think that a lot of times people have the idea when you're making music, like you're holding back. But it's all like, no one's going to hear any of this shit until it's right. So it might as well just like go for
experiment.
It.
Experiment. Yeah.
Yeah. Just
go for it
and laugh and cry and do whatever.
Yeah.
And get it out there and then make room for more ideas to come in. That was the thing. Like, so purge. And then, okay, now some original shit starts to happen.
Yeah.
That's just
how
life is anyway. If you just like, circle around feedback around the same idea, then
it gets kind of redundant.
You're done. You got to keep moving, keep your mind.
That's
open.
An interesting kind of point you brought up there, because that's how, like, as far as humans as well, it's like, yeah, we have to learn how to adapt and evolve and try new things.
Yeah,
and that's the way I look at you, man, because you're constantly, like, every time you have a new piece of gear or a new keyboard or your inventions. I want to get to your inventions because you invent shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I couldn't bring
it. You couldn't bring it, but let's talk about, we'll get to that. But when we're at Eddie's.
Yeah. If you guys are going to put inserts, I'll send you some photos.
Yeah. Let's talk about your drum machine that you created.
Okay. Yeah.
Cause this guy invents.
So I was thinking that I was looking at, around at, I look at kids and I see young kids, the opportunities that young kids have, like sometimes it's, you have a situation and it's not very good and your opportunity is very limited. So I thought that I would make music toys that would like be for everybody. And I like the idea of very young ages, like 0 to 5, where these negative biases can develop, or it's like when you're just like a sponge, you're a human, you're just born.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought that was a kind of a neglected age, so I started making these music toys for that age.
That's so sick.
And so I made this little drum machine. For little babies.
Try to describe it to the viewers and
listeners. Yeah, it's very simple. It's not like... So then I did a survey of music toys around, like these big companies. Mm-hmm. I won't name them, but... And a lot of those music toys were just not good. They mm-hmm. have like buttons and you push them and it does all its stuff on its own. Like there's no creativity there. So the little machines that I make for the kids, they're very simple. But you actually have to like push these little buttons and play sounds. And then... eventually, and it's all pared down. It's very simple. There's like only 2 or 3 sounds on each thing. So I got the idea from this kindergarten, the guy invented kindergarten, Forbel. Forbel made these toys called Forbel Gifts. And I was just, those are kind of my version of music toys, like the Forbel toys. But anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then I thought that when a kid hits like even on your phone, when you hit a button and it makes a sound, boom.
Yeah.
That it's like, it's kind of magical in a way because you just hear like this awesome sound. But you don't really see anything moving. So I made this extension where things move. So this little drum machine has a little hi-hat button and a snare button and a kick drum button. And when you hit them over here, this little thing over contraption over here actually moves
to the hit. Yeah.
Yeah. When you touch it,
yeah,
then those things move. So you can connect, you know, the sound to like actual movement.
Yeah.
And that inspires a person to like actually move those things too. But anyway, that's one of the ideas. So that's still like kind of developing right now.
Yeah, but then you even brought it to a different level because you even learned how to program.
Yeah, then
you programmed certain patterns. You can program beats in it. I remember that night.
So the equity involved here is like you can either play it, but not everyone's going to be good at playing it.
Yeah.
So you can program it. So there's another little piece that goes with it, and you can put these little coin type things in these slots, and you can see a beat, and then you push play, and the beat will play too. So even at 0 to 5. You can program, you basically computing, like when you're like a little baby.
It's under wraps.
Yeah, but it's because
it's your idea as well.
It's progressing fast. Like it's almost finished actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when that thing is ready to. Some of these things in
the background, is that some of your? No, that's a gallery that.
Yeah, I
was just using for that demo.
But yeah, we're just kind of keeping under wraps because it is your, you know, it's your.
Oh,
it's
no,
your,
man. Yeah, that's, yeah. You know, hey, I want other people to make stuff.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So,
but
there you go.
That one specifically is it's signatured by your with your signature.
I was gonna ask you a question too, Money. You had said that like, you know, you made a good point about like a lot of songs that you guys recorded were like, you know, never put
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like some great songs that were just never placed?
Yeah, well, so Craig was saying
I wasn't the executive on those decisions, so I was just like going along with it. But there was some good stuff that could have made it.
Well, the Beasties?
There was already 24 songs on the Check Your Head record.
Right.
Much more than a normal size record. You know?
I mean, just when you're doing music in general, does a lot of stuff hit the cutting room floor that you wish you had put in?
Well, not every, like the point of it is to make an album. And not every song is going to fit in the sequence. Sometimes that song is just sticks out too much, and it does not become a family of that sequence of songs. So it could be a great song, but it's just not fitting in with that collection at that moment. So,
right.
It gets put somewhere else, you know.
Is there a possibility one day that maybe you guys could archive it to the public somehow? Like,
well, it's not in my hands.
Streaming or...
Yeah,
or is there too much copyright or...
I don't know. It's not in my hands. I just, you know, I don't know exactly even where it all lives.
Yeah.
But I heard about 5 months ago, a whole 2 hours of... Some Radiohead demos were like put out in the public.
Yeah.
And then,
since you brought up Radiohead, because you, as far as your collaborations and the work you've done, like, let's talk about some of the collabs you've done. You mentioned David Byrne from Talking Heads. Let's talk about in Karen O. Let's talk about some of those things, because I think people would like.
Yeah,
to hear
well, the
about
next
that.
Thing I'm doing is probably is in talks right now, and we've met about it and discussed it initially. Is this working with Jack White on these piano rolls. I've been getting piano rolls and archiving these piano rolls. I made this machine that will play piano rolls and play them through synthesizers. So it's like 100-year-old music can be played through. We're going to bring it back to life. So, and it's right up his alley. Like he's got that same kind of kiddie mind, and also
who Jack?
Yeah, Jack.
Oh,
White.
Aren't you on the softball team together?
I'm not on his team, but I play against him.
Oh, you play against his team? Okay.
It's not softball; it's hardball. Yeah.
How did you and Jack White from White Stripes meet? How did you?
We were back in.
Shout out to Jack White from White Stripes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And Meg too.
And Meg, yeah.
No, we met Jack and Meg on tours. Yeah, backstage, at festivals.
And it just clicked his personality, and you guys got along.
Well, we were just kind of
crossing paths.
And the recent band he's in now, this is end of summer 2019.
Mm-hmm.
The Raconteurs just had a number one album.
Wow.
And I had been making some recordings with Patrick Keeler, the drummer.
Yeah.
And actually, in the Karen O band, it was Patrick Keeler was the drummer and Jack Lawrence, the bass player of the Raconteurs. He was the bass player. And I was the keyboard player and Nick Zinner was playing guitar, and Brian was also playing percussion and drums.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was basically the Yeah Yeahs and some of the Raconteurs, and then I was in there playing keyboards.
That's so cool.
So that band was really cool.
Yeah, that's man.
We played at the Opera House in Sydney Opera House.
Sydney Opera House.
Couple weeks. And then in New York.
Respect.
That was fun.
They have no idea. I mean, we could go 5 hours with this guy. I want to bring up a couple other bullet points. One, personally, because I think it's interesting, because we did a show, the Die Antwoord. We opened for Die Antwoord.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Do you remember that?
In Hawaii.
But then you have a story of you actually flying to South Africa, and you stayed with it. Can we talk a little bit about that? It's interesting to me.
Well, I just have lots of curiosity about how to make songs and how music's made. And I was listening to the music, and I was like, And then I actually met them.
Who, Ninja and Yolandi?
I met
Yolandi,
High Tech and Ninja and Yolandi.
Yolandi,
As when I was talking to them,
they don't
know the things I know about music, and I don't know the things that they know about how to make music. It's completely alien to me. Like,
well, give me an example of
what
that.
I know about music, comes from kind of a tradition. What they know about music and how to make music is some other... comes from somewhere else. I was so interested in that idea, so I told Ninja, I said, hey, I'm gonna fly to
South Africa.
Johannesburg and hang out with you guys if you don't mind. He goes, yeah, come on. So I flew over there and stayed like, actually stayed like 6 weeks.
You stayed 6 weeks?
Yeah, I stayed there 6 weeks.
What was it like there?
Wow, that's a whole nother.
Just give me a small description. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that, you know, was my like brother, being on another planet, too.
Because my brother got mugged there. You know, Bob got mugged.
Oh, wow, that's too bad.
He got robbed there. They took his wallet.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that happened to me in Belgium, so.
Wait, on a music festival or like some kind of tour?
A long time ago, oh, okay. Yeah, some festival.
So in the 60s,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, but I had fun out there, and, you know, I was Joburg. Yeah, okay, Johannesburg.
Right, we get it. Yeah. All right. People can just
and a Cape Town. And anyway, I learned how they operate. And it's very, yeah, you know, it's cool.
What was like a couple things you noticed about like their music creation and how they vibe and everything? I'm just curious.
Well, do they just sit around? They don't use, you know, there's no terminology that I could understand.
Oh, they use like slang from South African slang?
No, I don't mean that. I just mean, you know, like they were just like, oh, it's a lot of like emotional decision making, like, oh, I really love that sound, or I really like that part, like that. There's no like, oh, that F7 major goes into that B flat really nicely, you know?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, that. It's just so. They're going on like feeling and
yeah.
So wow, that's amazing. Damn, it's already, we're gonna just, we have some time. I didn't want to, you know what I just thought with you? Because with you, we could go like 20 hours with you. But so I want to even do more content with you specifically, just so like viewers could get like maybe
well,
like
well
your
on another time you can come to the studio.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Or
maybe
you can
do
see
a vlog,
me build something.
Build something,
scratch,
but not only like, that, yeah, all the gear that you like, all the keyboards.
Yeah, but it's like, and, you know, all that gear is just like you can buy all that shit. But like,
I'm just
be able
just,
to like operate it and stories of how it, like I.
Just like a tour of your creative
that, like,
environment, I think would be
I
interesting.
I could totally
man.
Like take this whole thing apart, put yeah. it back together, and I know all about it.
Yeah.
Like it's my expertise.
Oh, of course. So what piece of gear
well,
did you
when
bring?
When you asked me, you said bring a keyboard.
Yeah,
or
I just thought it'd be interesting because your keyboard money, Mark. That you know keyboard. So
well,
what do you got there?
This is a mini Moog.
Mm-hmm.
And Let me turn.
Yeah,
let me,
yeah,
let me
yeah,
turn
yeah.
This
go ahead. Do your thing.
Like
do your thing.
Sorry.
Craig, you got it. Yeah, like Craig, you good?
Let's see the chairs right here.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, look, you see?
Yeah.
That's a mini mode right there.
Yeah.
And I thought that when you said bring a keyboard, it's like, this is a keyboard that, in my opinion, this is my friend right here.
Oh, damn right.
And I think I'll take this to the grave with me.
What?
Well, if I had to go to a desert island, this is the
that's
one.
That's the one you'd bring?
That's the one I would choose.
Why does well, how
because
does how is that different than the other ones?
Because when Dr. Robert Moog made this thing, his idea was like, this is a machine that is a sentient being, just like a human being.
Damn.
It has a heart and soul and in it. So like right now,
give us some examples.
Okay. So this thing now, because it's my friend, I know all this, like,
what do you mean
just
you know
so
all
intuitive.
Of
like,
oh.
I can just start to just do stuff, and someone can be over there, like, do that. Like, I can do it. Or if a band can be playing, and then, sure, I'll just join in right now.
Yeah.
You know,
Craig,
instantly.
Can you hand me my phone as well? Because I want to capture some of these sounds, too, because he's about to do some crazy shit right now.
Okay.
Hold on. Yeah, just give me some.
There's an amp.
Yeah.
There's an amp, and, look.
Yeah, Mark, you just do you.
I don't want to disturb the neighbors. But
no, you're fine.
Okay,
no, you're fine.
So it does. It's a whole orchestra right here. So it does really low sounds.
Yeah.
And does super high sounds.
Okay.
Like, does low sounds so low you can't even hear them, mm-hmm. And it does high sounds so high you can't even hear them. But so there's some sounds you can hear. Whoa, that's a little thing. Oh, so, you know, when I hit it, it's like,
yeah.
I'm going to make it so short, watch. So then it sounds more like a rock hitting something. I'll open it up. Oh,
But I can do it.
Keep,
I can
keep,
do,
keep going on that.
I can do
keep
it.
Keep going on
can.
That.
And I can do it up here. Yeah, it can just last forever.
Then how'd you
now I can
that?
Change
the.
There's like these ADSR things.
Yeah, yeah.
But now since it's lasting a long time, like it'll last forever. It'll hold it. I can change the filter as it's.
Keep going, and just keep doing that. Hold on, keep going, keep it on there.
Crazy, Mark. What was that?
Noise.
Sound like a firecracker.
So I can do the same thing. Watch. I can make it long and short. Same thing.
What's the oscillator about?
Okay, so here's oscillators, mixers. There's three oscillators here, and a mixer, and here's how you change all the sounds.
Yeah.
That's basically how it is. So I can turn on, I'll just turn on this one oscillator right here.
Yeah.
And here's the low. It's so low you can't even hear it. Okay, so watch.
The reason why I record him, anytime he's doing something, it's gold. That's why I have to, you know what I'm saying? To do more parts with you, Mark. Dude, that I feel like an hour just flew by with you. we just barely scratched the surface with you.
I didn't get my corn nuts or my ginger ale.
Oh, do you want a sparkling water? I have sparkling
water. I'll get one.
Sorry about that.
Well,
is there any more to jam with?
Oh my god, do you mean? What are you talking about? There's a lot. Yeah,
Mark. Ren, you wanna sprinkle the water?
Marcus.
Ren, sprinkle the water?
Money Mark, Money Mark. Let's start promoting your stuff. When your album comes out, well, first of all, your social media, your Instagram. So people could start following you and your music.
Have some Instagram. I have less than 100 posts on Instagram, but
it's about people get like
it's Money Mark official at this point, and I'm at Money Mark on Twitter.
So it's Money Mark Official on Instagram, and then your Twitter again?
Is Money Mark.
Is Money Mark. Website?
Yeah. MoneyMark.com.
MoneyMark.com. And when's the albums coming out, the three?
Right now, the Fast record, I just recorded with John Theodore playing drums. So I'm working on that right now. And then, I don't know. As soon as I finish it, which is, I got to finish it in the next 6 months. So
it's going to come out by summer. Yeah. Okay. And then, man, dude, that was awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Are there any more collaborations going on,
this thing,
Mark?
With Jack White.
You guys got a project together?
Yeah, that piano roll thing.
Yep.
And then, also, they're collaborating with right now in David Byrne's current band. He's doing the American Utopia, which is like a Broadway. Now it turned into like a Broadway show. And a couple guys, amazing Brazilian players who play in that band.
Yeah.
Stefani and Mauro Fresco. We're starting a band. This Electrocumba band. Dang. We're going to go to Brazil.
That's
and
crazy.
Record and
yeah.
Play shows there. And then... let's see. I'm playing with this Mexican band Molotov.
Dope.
Playing you know this band Molotov, so playing
Molotov.
Some unplugged shows like MTV's still kind of big in Latin American countries.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they did this unplugged show that I was part of.
That's
so I
dope.
Do those shows every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And what was coming up soon, I produced Tunde, who's the singer from TV on the Radio. I produced a record for him.
Is that out? Where can people hear?
I think it just came out.
So where can people find that?
I don't even know. I don't know.
You do so much stuff. It's just your stuff spread out.
Mia Doy Todd, helping her make her new record. This amazing singer, LA singer, and then who's a good friend of mine, and boy, I don't know. Tonight I was just like, I've been hanging out with trying to hang out with the younger bands and new bands. I was just before I came here, I was actually with this band Black Midi. They're a UK band. Some young kids are like 23, 22 years old.
How'd you meet them?
I met them through a friend who is putting out the record, Rough Trade. And it turns out that my nephew knows them, who he's in the UK. His name is Elijah. And he's plays guitar, and he knows them. Morgan, who plays drums in that band. They're a great band. I'm actually going to go see them tonight.
Cool.
And I mean, when you ask me that, I can't even think of all the stuff I'm doing. It's like there's just it's like
too much stuff.
I'm going to score a movie. I'm scoring a movie, Hannah's movie.
Yeah. But didn't you score other? You scored something else,
I did
too.
David Chang's...
David Chang's show on Netflix.
Yeah,
on
I
Netflix.
Did all 8 episodes there.
Yeah.
And it's... I don't know.
Endless, man.
Yeah,
I remember you working on that.
Yeah.
Before it came out on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
But now it's on Netflix. They could go watch that right now. Money Mark did all the music for that. Dude, it's always an honor to have you, brother.
All right. Let's shake hands on that one.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you out there.
Yeah. Make sure to support this man's music when it comes out. Support him when he's out performing and all of anything he does. Support it, buy it. And that's it, yeah. We have a few remaining announcements. We have a Patreon attached to the... shout out again to our sponsor, Scentbird, for sponsoring this particular episode. Thank you for that. Shout out to... if you want to support the Stevie Wiebe Show, go to patreon.com/Stevie Wiebe. Our new patron for this week is mclark33. Welcome. There's a website now for this everything surrounding the show. It's stevieweebyshow.com. The Instagram's Instagram/QUANGOU. Go to stevieweebybandcamp.com. More content on the way. Vlogs, puzzles, clips, Stevie on the Streety, and a P.O. Box video. I got to stop by the P.O. Box actually tomorrow to check the P.O. Box.
Wow.
If you want to send any packages, send your packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue. P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. I still want to do that vlog at your studio. I think it'd be good, man.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe tying into this.
Yeah, and then if you guys have any questions, send him questions.
Yeah, and then I could, like a tour, just because there's so much history with him.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
His gear and all this stuff.
Maybe we do a contest. I'll give a free lesson to some.
Yeah,
winner.
Will you do that?
Yeah.
A free lesson to someone
in
LA or something.
I'll give an hour of free lesson.
Like a free keyboard lesson.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or,
well, we'll work something
like,
out like that. Yeah.
How to make scrambled eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so I wanted to shout out some of the homies' podcast, Losco Project. Support that. Necro Electric podcast. Support that. Riffin with Griffin and WFE. And yeah, and thanks for tuning in. And man, Money Mark, give me a pound.
Okay.
You want to play us out, Money?
Yeah, play us out. We're announced time for Lil Ray's World.
Welcome to Lil Ray's World Show. I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls.
Welcome to Little Ray's World. Yeehaw!
Well, what the hell do we got here, babe? Looks like a goddamn cassette tape, man. Hello? Can you talk? Let me see if I heard that correctly, sir. Your name is Mac the Cassette, and through technology, you slowly got replaced by CDs, MP3s, and then streaming took over like Spotify. And you know what, sir? Even vinyl is more important than you. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
God dang it. I miss my old Elvis Presley records back there in Bryan, Texas. I wish I could listen to them right now. I don't know what to do to make you feel better, sir. But me and Beep wrote a song about you. And it goes like this, my man. This one's called Mac the Cassette Man. Mac is a cassette played on a tape deck replaced by a CD to MP3. How'd you get left like a T-Rex in the sunset wet? They threw you in the ocean to forget how you flex. Kids would look at you like a dinosaur pack. Man, no disrespect to the one named Mac taken over by a stream. What the hell did you expect when technology surpassed? Join us in about 2 weeks or so for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. Make sure you go to www.stevieweebyshow.com and check out some of that awesome merch. Let's get her done.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.